Today we celebrate All Saints Day. It was actually yesterday, but it's one of those holidays on our church calendar that's important enough to move around if it doesn't fall on a Sunday so that we can all celebrate it together. Now the old name for this feast was All Hallows Day, and you can't have missed that it was All Hallows Eve on Friday that we kind of mush up into the word Halloween, which when I was a kid still had an apostrophe between the two E's to remind us about the V that we were leaving out. Anyway, the whole rigmarole, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, which is actually today, and Halloween are all ultimately about remembering the saints. How many of you know any saints personally? When I was growing up, I was pretty sure that I did. I had this idea that my grandmother was a saint. Now, my grandmother was an extraordinarily kind woman, amazingly generous, and she always went to church. But she also lived in a wonderful house in the woods where everyone was always welcome, and she had a closet that always smelled like the apples that she stored there in the winter. And she always brought an apple cake made from those apples when she visited because she knew it was my favorite. But she was tough, too. And she stood up to bullies and told the truth even when it was hard to do. But my grandmother, Thelma was her name, and believe it or not, my other grandmother's name was Louise. She would, really, she would have protested greatly if I or anyone else had ever called her a saint. She would have said that she's not in the grave yet, and anyway, she was just trying her best, and that she had her faults the same as anybody. You see, my grandmother believed, as many people do, that saints are perfect people, and that you don't get to be a saint until after you die. But my grandmother was wrong about that on both counts. Because you see, a saint is anybody who loves God. In the Bible, when St. Paul talks about the saints, he's talking about the church, his friends and family who are members of the community. Before the word Christian was invented, we called ourselves the saints. Over the years, for some reason, we've tried to change the meaning of the saints, and indeed, the main meaning of the reign of God that the saints are part of, that Jesus says is so near to us, so that now we think of the saints as dead and the reign of God as a faraway place we'll go to when we die if we've been good. But the truth is that the saints, the people who love God, are all around you right this very minute. And because of that, the reign of God is just as close. The saints who have died are with us too, and we will call on them by name to come rejoice with us later on in the service. Because you see, we want to remind ourselves of what the whole family of God looks like. And to think, too, about everyone who will become part of the family of God in the future. Now, Jesus talks a little bit about what the whole family of God looks like in today's gospel reading. God's embrace, Jesus says, includes those, and I'm going to give another translation for all of those blessed R's here, that is also true to the original Greek, but may give you pause to think. God's embrace includes those who have lost hope, and those who are without joy, the downtrodden, those who have yet to receive justice, the healers and restorers of the hopeless, the downtrodden and the oppressed, those whose love is not shared between God and worldly things, but is for God alone. Those who work to mend the brokenness of the world. And those whose love for God and service to the world keep on even when the work is difficult, unappreciated, or makes enemies. But if you didn't hear yourself in that list, don't worry. Jesus didn't mean it to be a comprehensive list, but to point out to his followers that God's love and embrace includes people who are not like us. So today, as we celebrate the whole family of God, past, present, and future, use your imagination. Try to see that we all share our communion meal at the same table that stretches through time and space from this altar to every other table around which God's family is gathered today. To all those who will gather at this table and all those others in the days to come, to all those who have gathered to share this one holy meal all the way back to the table where Jesus himself ate and drank with his friends. It is one table, and we are one family. And today at the second service, we'll be celebrating new members of God's family. We're going to welcome new saints into the church. Grant and Isabella Washabaugh and Stephanie Savage are going to be baptized today. We'll use water as a sign that they are holy and that in life and in death they belong to God. And we'll use scented oil as a sign that, like the rest of us, in the reign of God they are both royal and priests. And we will welcome them into our family, into the saints. The famous children's hymn, "I Sing a Song of the Saints of God," says, "They lived not only in ages past, there are hundreds of thousands still." Today, we, the saints of God, are privileged to welcome three more. But there are more still that we need to welcome. Look around you and see who is missing. Who from our church community isn't here today? Who from among your friends and family do you wish most of all were sitting next to you right now? And what would it take to get them here? And then think for just a moment about the people you aren't so sorry aren't here. The ones who irritate you or make you uncomfortable. The ones that you know you have hurt and can't bring yourself to face. The strangers you meet as you go through your life who scare you or annoy you or repel you. I'm going to ask the same question. What would it take to get them here? Because you see, the family of God won't really be whole. The body of Christ will always be wounded. That work of healing and restoring the broken world that Jesus says is so blessed will not be done until everyone is at the table, until everyone is part of the family into which we baptize Stephanie and Isabella and Grant today. Amen.